You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Add your voice.
Have your say.
Let's walk the talk.
It is coming up for 25 minutes to 2 on this Tuesday afternoon. If you've just joined us, it is Afternoons with Rele Bohile Mabotja. I'm Yuveka Rangopa. I'm in for Rele Bohile today. She's not feeling too great, and hopefully she'll be back in a day or two. So up next, and it is still Women's Month, and we are focusing a little bit more on things that affect women, things that very few people understand, that we understand, or other women only would understand. Now, you know, there is that time of the month where most women are not quite themselves. But for a very good reason, it is the run-up to your period. Most of us know how that feels. It's the irritability, it's the water retention, it's the craving. Now, not everybody experiences these things, granted. Not all women do, but many of us do. I would say most of us experience one or two, if not all, of these symptoms. And, you know, and PMS is no joke. And there are those who have very severe forms of this, or those who actually experience nothing, but it, and as you get older, and I can attest to this, as you get older, some of these things creep in if you weren't experiencing them before, and if you have been, they tend to get worse. So it really requires a lot of understanding from those around you and those in your circle as well. But there are those who actually experience something a little bit more, a very, very serious version of this. Now, 3 in 4 women, you may not know this, experience premenstrual physical or mood changes, right? But for women suffering from premenstrual dysphoric disorder, it is something called PMDD, not just PMS, but PMDD. The monthly symptoms are more than just uncomfortable. They're more than just irritating. They affect lots of things in your life, almost every aspect of your life. They could affect how you work. They could affect your relationships even more than PMS might. And this is a scary one. Increase your risk of suicide. So we thought we'd delve into this a little bit more. I never heard of PMDD. Yes, we all know what PMS is. It's well known. That affects about 75% of women. But PMDD is the more severe form of this. And it is recognized as a clinical mental health condition and affects about 5% of women that we know of. So we want to get some more details about this. And we got in touch with Dr. Marshini Naidu. She's a member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists and a psychiatrist herself. Doc, a very good afternoon to you. And thanks for availing yourself this afternoon. Tell us about PMDD. What exactly is it?
Well, premenstrual dysphoric disorder is a severe mental health disorder, and it actually affects millions of women worldwide. It's characterized by physical symptoms, physical discomfort, similar to the PMS, but so much more severe, as well as mood and behavior changes, together with cognitive symptoms as well. And it's important to note that these symptoms, you know, impact severely on a woman's quality of life.
In what ways? We mentioned, yes, it can affect your work, it can affect your relationships. And for me, the very worrying thing here is about the risk of suicide and the increased risk of suicide because of PMDD. Just give us a bit more detail about that.
So definitely it affects, you know, different aspects of a woman's life in terms of their work function, or schooling, family function. And it's been proven that a third of women who suffer from PMDD actually have attempted suicide, which is quite concerning. There's studies that have shown that it doesn't really come down to abnormal hormone balance. It's more an extra sensitivity to the normal fluctuations in estrogen and progesterone. So around the time of the menstruation, women have fluctuations in these two hormones, and this in turn affects serotonin, which is an important neurotransmitter in depression. So there's actually a biology behind this. You know, it's actually science behind these horrible symptoms that women experience. And as you mentioned, quite concerning because of the risk of suicide that it presents with.
So how would I know, or how would somebody out there know that they actually have something as serious as PMDD as opposed to your run-of-the-mill PMS?
So it's a diagnosis that's often misinterpreted, misunderstood, misdiagnosed, and as you've mentioned, often brushed off as just PMS. You know, we often say it's the monster of the PMS. It's the PMS, but so much more severe. I think what's important to note in terms of diagnosing PMDD versus a depression or a bipolar disorder or just the premenstrual syndrome is its cyclic nature. So oftentimes, women start experiencing the severity in mood and physical symptoms the days leading on to the actual menstruation, which intensifies with the menstrual bleeding. And as that the PMS, or as the menstruation occurs, it slightly gets better with complete resolution of symptoms thereafter, which is different from a depression or bipolar disorder because there's a typical cyclic nature.
Yes.
So women should be, you know, aware of that and, I guess, more vigilant in terms of their symptoms. If those symptoms become quite out of hand, where it actually interferes with your level of functionality, you know, there's a red flag that you may have PMDD.
Mm. So if I understand you correctly then, Doc, there have been cases where women have been misdiagnosed and said, oh, you have depression or you have bipolar or you're just hormonal or going through a bad time in your life. But the more worrying one is people being... And obviously being given then medication for things like depression and bipolar disorder and then never finding out through their whole lives that it wasn't something like that.
Yes, definitely. I think the misdiagnosis with bipolar disorder is that one of the common symptoms of PMDD is not just a tearful, down, sad mood where, you know, that could be mistaken for a unipolar depression, but there's intense irritability, an increase in interpersonal conflicts that's out of the norm, you know, and there's a definite peak at the time of the menstruation where irritability, severe mood swings, hypersensitivity, more prone to conflict, and those kind of symptoms lead to the misdiagnosis with the bipolar disorder, which, you know, in fact could then lead to incorrect medication being given. And as much, you know, definitely what you said, for years, patient may not know that they actually have something different than a bipolar disorder or just being hormonal or just being brushed away.
And who would be, is there a particular type of person who would be most vulnerable to PMDD, or is it quite random, or, you know, is there any particular personality type? We know people, you know, who like to have complete control of their lives, you know, at this time where it's something that they really can't control, or somebody who already is living with some type of mental health issue or condition.
So definitely women who are prone to mental health conditions, women with a history of postnatal depression, any unipolar depression or any sort of mental health disorder are more prone to developing PMDD, as well as women who have experienced stress and trauma, especially sexual trauma in childhood. These are risk factors for developing PMDD. There's also research that shows there's a genetic component to it. So looking at your maternal link of mood disorder, PMS symptoms, postnatal depression, those are the conditions that make women more prone to getting PMDD.
All right, if you've just joined us, we are talking to Dr. Mashini Naidu. She's a psychiatrist, a member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists as well, and a very interesting topic. We're talking about premenstrual dysphoric disorder. It is a very severe form of PMS that affects about 5% of women that we know of, and the sort of signs and the symptoms are a little bit more, are a little bit more pronounced than women would ordinarily experience with PMS. If you have any questions or you want to get Dr. Naidu's take on something, please give us a call at 011-883-0702 or simply WhatsApp us 072-702-1702. You can send us a voice note or you can just merely send us your question on WhatsApp and we'll try and get you some answers, or Dr. Naidu can guide you in the right direction to getting some sort of proper help.
Join us.
Let's walk the talk.
This is 702.
Dr. Naidu, speaking of premenstrual dysphoric disorder, PMDD, how do you manage this? Is there some type of medication you can take? We know for PMS, you know, there are certain vitamins or supplements you can take. Is there something in particular for PMDD?
Well, the good news is it's highly treatable once diagnosed. So diagnosis, usually make contact with your doctor, a doctor who specializes in female mental health or psychiatrist. It's easily diagnosed. Other symptoms are looked for, and it's highly treatable. Oftentimes, we use antidepressants, such as selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and these drugs actually remedy the mood changes, and they work quite well to treat mood irritability and those kind of symptoms. Oftentimes, it's not necessary to take these tablets routinely as one would in a depression, obviously under the guidance of your doctor. It's usually used just before the period and the days into it, and in a cyclic manner, but again, prescribed under the guidance of your doctor. Contraceptive pills or hormonal medication is often used, and this works amazingly for the physical symptoms, the cramps, the pain, the back pain, and it definitely does remedy those symptoms. In more severe cases of PMDD, and these, it's just to show how severe this can be, where surgical intervention is sometimes the only means of treatment.
Yeah.
This is usually kept for women who have already had their families, and it's more the last resort that one would look into. But there's other less invasive treatment avenues, such as CBT, cognitive behavior therapy with a psychologist, and that's also been proven to be helpful for women with PMS or PMDD. And as you've mentioned, I think the start should be lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
So this is for women in general during the time of the period, just to be more aware of our bodies and what we eat, regulating or decreasing your intake of caffeine, alcohol, nicotine, exercise. And it doesn't have to be a vigorous gym routine, just light exercise, definitely improves the mood, yoga, meditation.
Yes.
Just being more mindful to maybe keep away from conflict. It's not always easy, but just to bear in mind that, we are quite sensitive during the time of the PMS, and to not allow those kind of situations to trigger us. Other kind of interventions, vitamins, omega, vitamin B6 has an effect, vitamin D, calcium. So there's lots of different medications that can be used. Best to discuss with your treating doctor.
Is magnesium one of those? We understand magnesium kind of is kind of meant to help you relax as well.
Yes, so magnesium, primrose oil.
Yes, evening primrose oil, yes.
Yes, definitely those are helpful in treatment as well.
Now, I know of people, Doc, who have, they go through or have gone through such horrible times with their periods and, not just before but during as well, and have opted now to just have a hysterectomy. Is that advisable, or is it only advisable at a certain age?
Yeah, as I mentioned, surgical intervention in treating PMS is more for the extreme or more for quite severe symptoms. And, the condition can be treated or controlled with medication, be it antidepressants or hormonal treatment. So I would suggest, that's more extreme, and definitely other treatment options should be seek and used before quite drastic measures such as a hysterectomy. But oftentimes, that's the only relief. Or, once women reach menopause, although that comes with another, a whole lot of other mental health problems.
Yes.
But usually reaching menopause or a hysterectomy does bring relief. But I think people should be made aware that there are more gentler treatment approaches that should be sought for first, instead of just resorting to the invasive surgical intervention.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Marshini Naidu. She's a psychiatrist. And we're chatting about premenstrual dysphoric disorder, not just PMS, but PMDD, which is a much more severe form of this. Women experience much more severe symptoms before and during as well. We'll be taking your calls, your voice notes, and looking at your WhatsApps in a moment.
Your voice.
Your station. Let's walk the talk.
702.
702.
Coming up for 10 minutes to 2 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon, we're talking to Dr. Marshini Naidu about something called PMDD, or premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And is it something that's a little worse than PMS, if you can actually imagine that? You didn't think it could get any worse, but it actually does. Doc, we've got Wendy from Benoni on the line. Wendy, good afternoon. You have a question?
Yes, I do. Will the multivitamins for a combo for women help to reduce the pains?
Multivitamin combo, Doc.
Yes, hi, Wendy. You know, there has been literature stating that your diet intake is quite important. And, you know, multivitamins contain the good stuff, vitamin B6, vitamin D, magnesium. So it would definitely help to an extent. But again, your symptoms need to be reviewed by your doctor. And maybe there may be a need for something a bit more stronger, be it an antidepressant or hormonal therapy. So it's definitely not a bad idea taking a multivitamin as we grow older, just for women in general. But I think symptoms should be looked at in detail by your doctor, and other treatment can be recommended.
Doc, are there any particular tests that can be done, sort of blood tests, to check what it is that you actually, I mean, we could be taking everything and overloading our system as well. How do we know which one of those things we're actually lacking in? Do blood tests maybe point you in the right direction and say, listen, okay, you maybe, you know, calcium will help you, like you said, or magnesium, or you actually need a bit of evening primrose oil. You know, otherwise we end up taking a million pills a day. It does take its toll on the body, I'd imagine.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, there's so much of vitamins and supplements on the market that we tend to over-medicate, and it's 100% what you're saying. Sometimes we don't need it. Just by good diet, you know, our body does get the requirements that's needed for the day. So, again, you know, seeking help with your family doctor, basic bloods are done, where you could look at calcium levels, magnesium, phosphate, different levels in the blood, and you know, a supplementation can then be directed towards what's needed. Or if it's in the more elderly woman, is there maybe a benefit from calcium supplementation as a lady reaches menopause? So definitely not just, you know, all of the vitamins that are on the market, but more for what you need. And again, a basic medical investigation, including basic bloods, are usually done by a doctor, and treatment will be directed accordingly.
All right, we've got Zama who sent us a WhatsApp saying, she gets headaches pre or post menstruation on the left side of her head. It is unbearable. Please advise. Would this be, would those severe headaches like that every month, and particularly on the left side, be a sign of something?
Well, I mean, headache can be one of the physical symptoms of PMDD or PMS, but, you know, concerning that if it's just an isolated headache on one side, again, is it cyclic? Is it just during the time of the period? You know, I would suggest a symptom such as headache, which is quite, it seems quite aggressive and quite difficult for her to deal with, should be, again, seek help with your doctor. You know, we can, again, say it's a symptom of PMDD, but other medical causes have to be excluded.
All right, another WhatsApp coming through. This is so enlightening. At 53, it has been a long road. Thought I was crazy from the age of 11. This is so painful for women. I cannot say how painful it is. After I've had my uterus removed, still no pain relief. Breasts still swell. Painful period time. Thank you for sharing. So 53, Doc, does that give us a clue maybe as to what is potentially happening there?
Look, I mean, even though the uterus is removed, I'm not sure what the caller, whether her ovaries are still there or removed or not, and that can still have an effect on the hormone fluctuation. Usually symptoms settle towards menopause, and 53 is still considered quite young for menopause. So relief from PMDD or PMS is usually at the menopause, which, as we know, you know, comes with a whole lot of other symptoms. But yeah, definitely you could still have symptoms post hysterectomy if ovaries are still left in. And again, treatment approach with your gynecologist and your psychiatrist would direct what kind of medication or surgical intervention would be appropriate.
And another WhatsApp agreeing with that, saying hysterectomy is not the answer to PMDD. And then, this question not directly related to what we're talking about, but maybe you can help this father out. He says, I'm a father to a 12-year-old turning 13. I just want to find out what are the symptoms of the first menstrual cycle and how long does the first cycle go for? How do you make these young girls not feel ashamed or embarrassed or even bad about it? So I think while we're talking about the psychology of it all, Doc, maybe we can just give him some tips, because yes, I think dads, very rarely ask about these things. So let's give him a helping hand in terms of what might be the sort of emotional signs and what's happening there with his daughter.
Yeah, also a difficult one because, you know, the teenage years and mood fluctuations that just happen with being a teenager, you know.
Oh, yes.
So I'm glad that dads are involved and also want to be educated on these symptoms. It's so important. We often think it's something that just moms and daughters deal with, but there's so many hands-on dads dealing with their little girls or their young girls.
Yeah.
Definitely the physical symptoms, you know, the cramping, the back pain, which wouldn't necessarily would have been a symptom that the child was experiencing or the young lady was experiencing. But, you know, the mood sensitivity, I think the oversensitive mood in a young child, a sensitivity to rejection, again, irritability, also quite negative thoughts that happen, a feeling of hopelessness.
Yes, not being good enough, yes.
Yeah, increased sensitivity to rejection, again, very much, you know, intertwined with the teenage years, but I think again the psychic pattern of it. I think here the dad asks for the first period, and most definitely the physical symptoms that occur, and that's usually just adhered to before the actual menstruation. Again, a family history. You know, how early did mom or gran or the maternal line start menstruating? It's not a norm, but usually the pattern does. There is a genetic pattern in how early or when one would menstruate. So to be aware of when did mom or gran have their first menstruation, what were their physical or emotional symptoms like, and just to be more aware the young girl starts complaining about the physical symptoms.
So dad, it might seem like PMDD at that point, but maybe not. I mean, she's going through the motions. But you mentioned something very important, Doc, there, which got me thinking about, you know, what happened previously with family history and the women. PMDD, is it something that could be genetic?
There is genetic basis, I think, for a lot of disorders that affect women in through the reproductive years, whether it's PMS, PMDD, postnatal depression. So definitely there is genetic evidence of, you know, it does run in the family. So it is important to take a comprehensive family history and see what mom and family experience. And oftentimes, you know, that could give an indication of whether one is more prone to having PMS or PMDD.
And Doc, just to remind us and just to sort of wrap it up for us, I mean, you mentioned there are ways to check, yes, for PMDD, but with all the things we've mentioned and all the things that could be possibilities here now, we don't know, you know, whether it is, what in those tests actually would tell a professional, would tell your doctor that this is PMDD, it is not maybe menopause or early menopause if this is happening to you at a younger age, or there is something else that is wrong gynecologically with you that is, you know, throwing your hormones out of whack and making this worse. What there would specifically pinpoint PMDD?
So definitely, you know, the first route would be a full medical assessment that includes comprehensive blood tests. And as I've mentioned, PMDD doesn't necessarily mean abnormalities in estrogen and progesterone. It's usually a hypersensitivity. So if bloods are done and abnormalities are picked up, there's usually an underlying gynecological cause, something that's not PMDD, and, you know, appropriate referral to a gynecologist would be indicated. It's often a diagnosis made most done by psychiatrists because we look a lot at the cyclic nature of mood, anxiety symptoms in relation to the cycle, the menstruation, and, you know, to comb them out from a unipolar or bipolar depression. So once a medical workup excludes anything medical, I mean abnormalities in the blood test, in the hormone levels, most likely the condition is PMDD, and psychiatrists are usually the specialists that diagnose this condition.
All right. Dr. Mashni Naidu, thank you very much. Certainly been very enlightening. If you didn't know about PMDD, well, you certainly know about it today.